just really enjoyed the song service tonight, especially Sweet to Me. And seems like the singing's been especially good this weekend. And I'm not talking about from the natural perspective. I'm talking about what I've been able to feel in my heart and to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's been a great, great blessing to join together with others of God's children and sing songs that honor and praise the Lord. And what a privilege it is to do that. I love the simplicity of the worship service that the Lord has given us in His Word, of singing, come before His presence with singing, of being able to join together on our knees in prayer, praying to the Lord, and then the simplicity of the preaching of the gospel that feeds our hearts and encourages us and strengthens us, and it helps us through difficult times where we need instruction from God's Word. And that really is every day, every hour, every moment of our life. Once the Lord has quickened us and made us alive, given us an eye to see and an ear to hear and a heart to understand the things which God has prepared for them that love Him, we are in need of the nourishment that comes from God's Word. And a faithful minister is to stir up the pure minds of God's children by way of remembrance, and to bring to your remembrance all the wonderful works of the Lord and what He has done for you. Ben, Sharon, and Gracie Lynn took off once I got home, and they went probably to get something to eat and get her addressed. It looks good, doesn't it? I'll point her out tonight. I thought it's a blessing to have her here tonight, and I thank the Lord for that. And as they went and kind of left me at the house, I just sat there at the table and was able to sit down and read my Bible and think about the things of the Lord and how good He's been to me. And the passage that's been on my mind kind of all week still was there, and I just was able to look at the individual verses, and I had a sweet little time of meditation. Now, whether that's going to be reflected in what I share with you tonight, that's altogether something we're dependent upon the Lord for a given occasion. Sometimes those good thoughts we have when we're studying God's Word are for us for that moment and for that time, and it doesn't always come over into our efforts to preach to the Lord's people. But if I could, I would surely like to share with you some of the sweet thoughts that the Lord allowed me to have on this particular passage of Scripture. And if the Lord is in the matter, and if not, then it was still good for me this afternoon, and it's been good for us just to get together and sing, hasn't it? It's been good to pray together. It's been good to discuss the needs and the cares and the problems that we have and get that out and recognize there's a God on the throne in heaven who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or think tonight. And we're in His hands, in His capable, loving, wonderful hands. And those that are in His hands, He's not going to lose one of them. You're safe in the arms of Jesus. You're safe in His watch care and His love and in His mercy. But if you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like to read one of the Psalms in hearing, Psalm 103. And it's 20 verses here. I'm going to read all of them, 22 verses actually. Don't know how far along we'll get tonight, but I'll try to be as mindful of the time as I can, even though we're getting started a little bit later. I'll let you know that before it starts, or if I go over a little bit, you've got a little bit of wiggle room here maybe. But just pray for me that that our minds and thoughts would be attentive to the Word of God, and that the Lord would just bless us as we think about it together. We're on Psalm 103. Psalm 103, I don't know what page that is, but it's Psalm 103. It's 753 in my Bible. But anyway, Psalm 103. Beginning at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Look at verse 19. He says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. That says God's on his throne tonight. That was true when David wrote this. This is the Psalm of David. It was true before David wrote it. The Holy Spirit moved David to write it and penned it down. That's why it's here. It's not just the words of David, not just the words of the writers of the Psalms, not just the words of the writers of the Bible, but it's given to us by the inspiration of God as men were moved by the Holy Spirit to pen it down. And when God gave it, God knew all the benefits that these words were going to have for his people down through all the ages of time. He knew tonight, before we ever got here and before this day ever started, that we would be gathering here tonight. He knows all things. Y'all believe that? He knew what we needed tonight. He knows what's going on in your life tonight. He knows how you feel. He knows how you doubt, how you question, how you wonder, how you concern. And just like the hymn writer wrote, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. Not only does he know, Jesus knows, but Jesus, any good? Jesus cares. Did that help you tonight? To know that Jesus cares? And Jesus cares, and God the Father cares, and God is on his throne, and Jesus is on his throne, and he has ascended up on high, and he's led captivity captive, and he's given gifts unto men, and there he has ascended on high, and we're waiting for him to return. What a glorious day that's going to be when the Lord sees fit to come back and gather his little children home. And until that time, we are taught in his word just what this verse says. The Lord had prepared his throne in the heavens. That means nobody
had to elect him into position. Nobody had to put him there. He's there by his own power, by his own authority. He's there from everlasting to everlasting. The Lord our God is one God. He's one Lord. Beside him there is none other. There's none like him. We don't serve tonight the God as the idols of this world are, the God of the moon and the God of the stars as different gods, and this God for the grass, and this God for the woods, and this God for the hills, and this God for the valley. Our God is the God of the hills, the God of the valleys, the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who created us, made this world, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can count on him for all that you stand in need of. And has he not been good to you and I as we think about all the things we've gone through in our lives? When he formed us and fashioned us in our mother's womb, we were in his thoughts and in his mind and in his work. Over in Psalm 139, I know y'all know I like this one because I read it quite often, but I love it because it talks about the power of God and what God knows. He says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Those verses clearly tell us that we're under the watch care of the Lord tonight. So whatever's going on, nothing's outside of his watch care. He has surrounded, that word compasses, meaning he surrounded our path. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. That means he's not just a God who sees from afar, you know. He doesn't just see from afar. He sees from afar, and he sees everything, but he sees up close. He sees personal. There are personal pronouns in this wonderful message of the psalmist that declare that God individually deals with us individually, though he has his people that he loves out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people, and they are as innumerable as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. He deals with each one of them individually and personally as if they were the only one. That's how detailed God works. And the psalmist here, I believe, in a state maybe he felt down, maybe felt low, maybe felt out, maybe felt cold. You ever get in one of those times where you just want to feel something, where you want to feel his love, you want to feel his presence, and you feel like you're in a dark, cold world, and there's nothing but bad news, and nothing but bad things coming your way, and you feel down and out, and you just want to feel him so that you know it's going to be okay, because God is God, and I and you are his children. That's why he's saying, I believe, to himself. David here is talking to himself. He says, bless, at least part of this is to himself. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to that inward man. He's talking to that spiritual man. This is not a dead alien sinner talking about how to get life or being trying to find himself getting light. I'm back in Psalm 103, verse 1. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then he says, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That means I don't want to just serve him tonight part of the way, half the way. Sometimes I just kind of show up and put in the hour or the hour and a half that we have in worship, and I'm not immersed in it. I'm not totally involved in it. I'm just kind of putting my time in. Sometimes I get it like I'm just kind of checking the box so that I've got that off my list and I've done that. And even in my prayer time or in my reading time, I just kind of check the box that I've spent some time in the Word of God today, or I spent some time praying today, or sometimes I get so busy with things that I forget to do that. And I don't spend the time in the Word of God. And maybe in the last little hours, I remember I haven't prayed about this. I haven't done that. So I kind of just go and kind of check the box so I get it done. I think when we get like that, we've gotten into a state of coldness, don't you? And that can attack us so quickly. Listen, it attacked the psalmist, a man after the Lord's own heart. If David had trouble with it, certainly I'm going to have trouble with it. And the Apostle Paul had trouble with it. And he spoke about preaching in season and out of season. So he had some in season times, but he had also some out of season times. And what do we do when we get in those places where we're out of season, where we are seemingly out of touch? Well, there's a place to go. There's one to look to. That is the one who's really always the same, and he's on his throne. He has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. His kingdom ruleth over all. That means the Lord's with us tonight, and we can look to him. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." I remember the prayer. I remember the commandment that came, the one of the greatest commandments. It's repeated in the Gospels, and it's also given to us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, where he tells us over there what we're to be doing as God's children. He says in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Jesus in the New Testament, quoting from this very verse, added and gave "with all thy strength and with all thy mind." It doesn't sound like we're to do it halfway, half-heartedly, kind of just check the box, so to speak. But we're to do it with all that's within us. And I believe that's what the psalmist is talking about here. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Now, when we talk about God blessing us, we're talking about God giving us something that we don't have without him giving it to us. When we talk about us blessing the Lord, it's not just the same. God doesn't need anything from us that he doesn't already have, because all good things have come from him to begin with. As a matter of fact, if you have a voice to praise him with, it's God who gave you the voice. If you have a heart to love him with, it's God who gave you that heart. If you have a heart of faith to believe in him and trust in him, it's God who's given you that. There's not anything that we return unto the Lord that he didn't first give us. If we love him, it's because he first loved us. If we believe in him, it's because he has called us and given us life. If we're crying out to him, it's because he has first called down to us. And we can't give him something that he doesn't already have, but we surely ought to be lifting up our voice in praise. And that's what this is talking about. It's talking about loving God. It's talking about fearing God. It's talking about living in the service of God in order to show him the praise and the honor and the glory that's due unto his name because of all the good things he has done for us. And he says for us to do that with all of our soul. He says, "All that is within me, bless his holy name." He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Tonight, let's just stop and think for a little bit how good the Lord has been to us. God showed us mercy when in a covenant of grace before the very foundation of the world, he saw us dead in trespasses and in sins. In an eye of foreknowledge, he saw us in the transgressions of this world. He saw us separated from God. He saw us in a path that was leading to destruction. He saw us in such a poor, weak, miserable condition that we could not recover ourselves, nor would we have any desire to. And in his mercy, and in his grace, and in his love, he chose us in Christ Jesus before the very foundation of the world. If he had not done that for us, none of us would ever choose him. None of us would ever come to him. But because he has done that for us, I said tonight we ought to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And God, seeing us there, chose us and placed us in Christ. He gave us unto his only begotten Son. And in a covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, the Son agreed that he was coming with the Father as the Father sent him to do the will of the Father in paying the sin debt that would allow us as his children to one day live with him in glory and even be able to be here tonight to worship him. So that as we have our needs and our troubles and our problems, we have access to the throne of grace. But not because we got it right or got it done or got it all fixed up, but because of his great love for us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, and that's why it's by grace that ye are saved. Listen, the Lord has done that for us. The Lord did that for us, and I say, because he's done that, we're to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. I want you to notice the thine and the thys and the words that talk about the personal work of God for each and every one of his children. You see, God didn't just love his people in general, just an innumerable company, although they are. He didn't just say, I'll just love them in general, all of them. He loved each and every one of them individually. Notice David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. In other words, he knows my sins. He knows my transgressions. He knows, as Psalm 139, there's not anything hidden from God. All things are naked and open before him with whom I have to do. He knows who I am. He knows when I'm being real, and he knows when I'm being fake. He knows what I'm thinking. He knows how I'm acting. He knows all of these things, and that would be scary and overwhelming if it were not for his love. If he did not love us, what a mess we would be. Because he knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows every flaw we have, every spot we have, every blemish we have, every problem that we have, every trouble that we have, every thought that we have that's contrary to him. And in spite of knowing all that, listen, if we knew one another that way that God knew us, we probably gonna be questioning each other a whole lot more than we do. But brethren, listen, God loves us. And that's why we're to love one another. And we're to love one another as the Lord has loved us. That means we look over one another for the good, but we want to recognize that it's all by God's amazing grace that we have any blessing whatsoever. And because of what he's done, surely we ought to be every opportunity that we have on our knees before him and in the service of God before him to worship our God and thank our God. And when our heart's cold, may we pray, Lord, bless the Lord on my soul and help me not forget all his benefits. He forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. If he would leave one of those iniquities out, that would be enough to separate us from God. You see, the Bible says we all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he said, and it goes on in Romans 6 and says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if we had one sin left to our charge, if we had one sin that we had to answer for, if we just had their sin debt paid up to this point, and that was left up to you or left up to me, or if we had all the future sins taken care of, and all the past sins taken care of, and we had to handle what's going on today. Listen, you and I, each and every one of us, because of the weakness of the flesh and because of the old body that we're carrying around with us, have done enough today to be cast away from him eternally. The world would say that doesn't make sense. But if you're a little child of God tonight, you know in your heart what you are by nature, and it's not a pretty picture. You know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You know that I've sinned and we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if it was left up to us to get anything right, even to be able to have fellowship with him tonight, if we didn't have his grace, where would we be tonight? Listen, Brother Jay's prayer, as sweet as it was, would not be heard in heaven. The efforts to speak and read God's word would be of no benefit to you tonight. None of these things, none of these things would be of any benefit if it were not for what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us when he came into this world, and he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What he did for us tonight ought to cause us just to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and be so thankful for what he has done for us. Because he's forgiven us all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, I know that we have bodily diseases, and we still have them, and we will have them. It's an evidence of sin. It's an evidence of the state we're in. It's this falling apart, this old body falling apart is all about what sin has brought into this world. But here's the good news. What Jesus did was heal us from our diseases, so that one day, by the grace of God, this old vile body is going to be made like unto his glorious body, and we're going to be forever with the Lord. When we're with the Lord, there's not going to be any more trouble with your eyesight. There's not going to be any more trouble with your hearing. There's not going to be any more trouble with your knees and the rest of your body. We get a knee replacement, but it's not like the real thing. It's a blessing, and thank the Lord for it, but it doesn't undo all the other stuff. One day we're going to be made and fashioned like the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll be forever with the Lord, and all of our diseases will be behind us, and we'll have no more sickness, no more sadness, no more heartache, and God's little children that have left this world have gone home to be with him, and they're in that wonderful place right now. And when their body is raised, and when our body is changed, or if we die, it's raised, we will be made like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, because the Lord paid the sin debt that was necessary, that we might be made whole, completely like him, and fit for heaven. He says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Just to think tonight, thy sins are forgiven. I read over in the book of Matthew about that man that we heard Brother Eddie preaching about, Brother Terry, just a little while back, about the one who was sick of the palsy, lying on the bed, and the four men carried him there to see Jesus. And as they came to see Jesus, the crowd was out and they couldn't come into the house where he was there. And so rather than just not bring him to Jesus, they went up on the roof, and they tore a hole through the roof and let him down. And when the man came down, Jesus saw their faith, and the scripture says this: "And behold, they brought to him a man," and this is Matthew 9 and verse 2. It says, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy," listen to these words, "he said, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Tonight, if I could just think for a little bit, that what Jesus said to him, he said to me. And I hope and pray that tonight you, as you read this passage and we look at it together, you can think a little bit of what Jesus said to him, he said to you. Because when Jesus died on the cross, everyone that was given to him in a covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, their sins were taken off of them and placed upon him. And his righteousness was taken off, was in a sense given, taken from him and given to them, so that he bore the pain and the agony and the suffering of our hell on the cross of Calvary. Not only the physical pain of what a crucifixion was going to be, but the very wrath of God that would have been ours as the wage of sin, which is eternal death, was placed upon him. And there at Calvary, he paid that price and paid it in full. And when he said it is finished, he had finished that work of redemption that the Lord had given him to do. And because of that, the words come to us tonight: thy sins are forgiven. I hope that makes you feel better to know that thy sins are forgiven. And they're not forgiven because you repented or because you came to Him. You come to Him and you repent because your sins have been forgiven and He's worked that in your heart. You don't fear Him in order to get to be His. You fear Him because you've been made His. And you see the evidences of God's grace in a person's life when the Lord has touched their life and given them that which only God can give. He says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Verse 4 says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Where was our life headed? We read of the general judgment in Matthew 25, where there are the separation between the goats and the sheep. And the sheep are taken from the goats and placed on His right hand, and the goats are on the left. And He says to the sheep, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's a beautiful sound, isn't it? Where he says to the sheep, come ye blessed of my Father. Why are they there? Because they're blessed of the Father. Inherit what? The kingdom that is prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he turns to the goats and he says, just a sound that should cause us all tonight just to be so thankful. Because if it had not been for what the Lord did, we would be numbered among the goats. We would be numbered among the children of wrath, even as others. That is what we are by nature. He said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. We don't hear that. Why? Why do we hear, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world? The reason we do is because there was a Savior who loved us enough that He bore the payment of our hell, and God being a just God and God being a holy and a righteous God couldn't just turn His back, but because of His love, He sent His only begotten Son, and the Son came because He loved us and He paid the sin debt for us and He washed us in His own blood and He secured for us our home in heaven. And if we didn't have anything but trouble in this world, the sweet promise of one day being there with Him forever and ever, oh, that weight of that, what a blessing it is to think about what it will be like to be with the Lord. He says, He forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. When did Jesus do that? When He died for our sins on the cross. And when He was buried. And on that third day He rose again for our justification. We see the great benefits that the Lord has put upon us when He chose us. And then He effectually calls us from a state of death to a state of life. Brother John, I thought very ably today, preached and taught about how we were quickened from Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And how the Lord had taken us when we were dead in trespasses and in sins. And He's given us life. The reason He did that is because of His love for us. And everyone that He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. And moreover, those whom He predestinated, them He also called. That's an effectual call in the new birth, of where He brings us from a state of death to a state of life. And everyone that He calls, He justifies. That is, He pays their sin debt, and they're washed in His own blood. And when He came forth from the grave, victorious over death, hell in the grave, it was just a clear declaration that we've been washed in His blood and that our sins have been forgiven. When He told that man, thy sins are forgiven, there were those who said, he's blaspheming. Thy sins are forgiven, that he's blaspheming. And he said, what is easier, to say thy sins are forgiven or to rise up and walk? And he said, when he said that, he told the man, thy sins are forgiven. He said, rise up and walk. And the man who was carried in on a bed, picked up his bed and walked out with his bed and carried it on back home. I'm telling you, that's the great position that we're dealing with. We're dealing with one who can handle and take care of whatever sickness, whatever illness, whatever problem we face here in this world. We don't always know His will. Sometimes we think, We like this to happen or that to happen, and it's just not in accord with His will. But we can be assured of this. He's on His throne, and He knows what's best. Therefore, we should be reconciled to that and looking to Him and leaning upon Him and blessing and praising Him and not forgetting all that He's done for us. He says, He redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And I can look at my life and see how the Lord has just poured out His loving kindness, His grace on me. Loving kindness speaks of His grace. Have you seen things that the Lord has given you that you did not deserve? Oh, how many things could we number tonight of what the Lord has blessed us with that we didn't deserve? And then His tender mercies. Has the Lord held back from you things that you did deserve in the sense of chastisement and punishment? He's shown you mercy and not giving you what you do deserve, but He's shown you grace and giving you what you don't deserve. Oh, what a great God we have who has shown us such loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5 said, He satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Now, if the good things you get, you don't have an appetite for, you wouldn't really care about getting them. Oh, I'm thankful tonight that the Lord has given you a hunger and thirst to be here. I'm thankful tonight that the Lord has given you a desire to look into His Word. I'm thankful tonight that you have been awakened from a state of death to a state of life. If you have a hunger and thirst after righteousness, it's an evidence that He's already blessed you. And you got a whole lot to be thankful for what He's already done. And now we should labor as much as we can to thank Him and bless Him, praise His name and give Him honor and praise and glory for what He has done. He satisfieth thy mouth. And here's that little word, thy, again. It's an individual blessing that comes to each and every one of God's children. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I often have thought how many of God's little children that I've seen that have been up in years that didn't act old at all. And sometimes I look at myself and it seems like I'm acting a lot older than I really am. And I'm complaining and I'm murmuring and I'm saying this is wrong and this is broke and that's broken. Rather than being excited about what the Lord's done, I'm so involved in what isn't going right that I get down and discouraged. Preacher like that will discourage everybody else as well. If we bring that to the pulpit, we'll share it with the whole church and everybody will have a big pity party and we'll go out the door moaning and groaning and singing that old hee-haw song, you know, gloom and despair and agony on me. Oh, I'll tell you, dear ones, that's not what we ought to have as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because we have a God who's on His throne tonight. We have a God who's helped us. We have a God who's awakened us when we were dead. We have a God who loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, the one that He loved in eternity and had always loved. He sent the very best of heaven into this world to die for us. We have a God tonight who said, I'll be with you and I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. We have a God tonight that has loved us and has sent His Son to die for us, and has paid the sin debt for us, and He's reserved for us an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven for you. So that even if we go through some tough, difficult times here, there's something better awaiting farther on. Not only that, He said, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? So that we have one to really depend upon tonight and really trust Him and lean on. He satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I love that verse over in Isaiah that speaks of the eagle in chapter 40. It says in verse 31. He says in verse 30 that even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. That is, men in this world that are trusting in man. That's where we'll end up. But in verse 31 he says, but they that wait upon the Lord. That's where I need to be tonight. I need to be waiting on the Lord. That's where you and I need to be. Let's wait on the Lord. Let's trust in the Lord. Let's depend. We don't know what's coming, but let's trust and lean upon the Lord, and they that wait upon the Lord. What's the promise? They that wait upon the Lord shall, that's a shall, renew their strength. That means, that goes back to this verse, if their youth is renewed like the eagles, that means we'll have the strength that we need. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed what? Day by day. We can lean and trust and depend upon Him. He says they shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That tells me the Lord's going to take care of us as His little children. And that ought to be good news tonight, and it ought to cause us to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that it was within me. Bless His holy name. Verse 6 says, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. That's telling us here, He's talked about how the Lord individually has taken care of us, and we should not forget those benefits, nor any of the benefits of the Lord. But the Lord is also taking care of His little children. Everything that He does is right and good and just, and He takes care of those that are oppressed. The Lord will take care of His people. He made known His ways unto Moses, and His acts unto the children of Israel. When you think about what Moses knew, we've got the five books of Moses, don't we? He sure let His ways be known unto Moses. You know how we know about the creation of this world? Because He let His ways be made known unto Moses. Now I know there's a lot we can see from creation itself that just testifies there is a God. But aren't you glad that He gave us Genesis? Aren't you glad that He let us know about how He made this world? Aren't you glad He let us know about Noah and the ark? Aren't you glad He let us know about Moses? Aren't you glad He let us know about the children of Egypt? Aren't you glad and thankful that we see the mighty hand of God in the lives of His people down through the ages, and what He gave Moses and what He did for Moses? And aren't you also thankful that what He gave Moses, He testified of Jesus Christ a long time before Christ ever came into this world. Moses pointed to Christ. He said, Jesus said to those Pharisees, He said, if you'd have believed Moses, you would have believed in me, because Moses taught of Him. So Jesus was taught of, Moses was taught of Jesus, and God made known His ways unto Moses. I'll tell you what else I'm thankful for tonight, is that the Lord made known His ways unto us. He's allowed us to see it. He's allowed us to understand it. I hope you see it tonight. I hope you understand it. I hope by faith it makes sense to you. I hope it isn't like things that seem like foolishness, but that we're trusting and leaning upon a God who's a real God, who's on His throne, and we can call upon Him and lean upon Him. And even when we feel so cold and out, doesn't change God at all. It just causes us to want to come back and say, Lord, help stir me up. Lord, help me to bless Thy name with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all that my strength. He hath made known His ways unto Moses, and His acts unto the children of men. I guess in just a nutshell, I just want to say, God will take care of you. He's going to supply what we need, whatever the storm. And one day He's going to take us completely out of the storm by His grace. There's going to be the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a glorious day that will be. We don't know when that's coming, we just know it's coming. And we're trusting in that great God, leaning upon Him and depending upon Him. And when you get down to man, what is he? He's like the grass. He's as a flower of the field, and so he flourishes for a while. We see that happening. Men grow up and they look like they're really flourishing, and the next thing you know, they're having a hard time getting around. The wind blows, and what is our life? James says, it's just a vapor. It's here for a little while and it soon vanishes away. So where should we be? Let us fear the Lord and let us serve Him. Let us depend upon Him. He's taken care of us up to this point, hasn't He? And if he's been so good to us up to this point, the promise is he will never leave us. He'll be with us. And seems like I've labored with this a little more than I wanted to, but if it's been of any benefit to you, give the Lord the praise for it, the honor for it. Know this, it's surely been good to read it in your hearing here tonight. He said in some of those last verses, he says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." I think about the angels tonight, listening to the very voice of God. And as he directs them to take care of his little children, the heirs of promise, here in this world. And he has a multitude of them. 12 legions of angels he could have sent when he was there on the cross. He could have asked his Father and he would have sent 12 legions. I believe that's about 72,000 angels that could have come. Over in the book of 2 Kings, we read about one of those angels in the days of Hezekiah. That one angel took out 185,000 men. That's a pretty powerful thing, isn't it? That's these angels that excel in strength. But I want you to know, they do his commandments. That's what they're there for. We don't worship angels tonight. We don't bow down to angels. He didn't say to any of the angels, "Come, sit down on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." He said that unto the Son of God, didn't he? We're not to worship angels. We're to worship the Son of God. As powerful as they are, they're simply those that God has created and blessed to be a blessing to his people. He says they do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of the word, of his word. And then he says, "Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure." That means we're to praise and honor him, all of God's children, and especially the ministry. They're there to do what the Lord would send them to do in preaching and teaching the word of God. Then he says in the 22nd verse, "Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." I think of Ephesians 2 and 10 that says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them." When you and I do what the Lord has given us the ability to do, we're about praising him. It's what he designed us to do. It's what he made us to do. We are his workmanship. And if we fail to do that, we're not doing what the Lord made us to do. So let us try to do it better and better. To praise him, to honor him, not only with our lips, but with our hands, with our feet, with our lives. May we give it all and we do it this way. Not in order to get something, but out of gratitude for what he has done. We serve him because of his grace and his love and his mercy. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. 262. I love this hymn. And he has. He's been so good to me. I want to glorify his name all my remaining days. And that last verse says, "And in the land of endless bliss, where all the praise is thine, some humble place at thy dear feet, may this poor sinner find." That's the expression of a little child of God who's anxious to get home and be with his Lord. And also a little child of God who wants to praise him while he's here. We'll stand and sing together 262, "The Lord Has Been So Good to Me." If there be one or more here tonight who love the Lord, have a desire to follow him and a desire to take up your cross in baptism, you let your feelings be made known as we stand and sing together, "The Lord Has Been So Good to Me." The Lord has been so good to me. I want to sing his praise. I want to glorify. pen, and every day wherever I be, I would his truth defend. I want to follow in his steps and show my love this way. I want to lift his banner up, be fair or cloudy day. The Lord has been so good to me, I will on him depend. And every day, wherever I be, I would his truth defend. I want to mingle with his saints while here on earth I stay, and meet him on the golden shore on that eternal day. The Lord has been so good to me, I will on him depend. And every day, wherever I be, I would his truth defend. Lord Jesus, will thou mercy show, and save me by thy grace, that I may win this life is o'er, look on thy lovely face. The Lord has been so good to me, I will on him depend. And every day, wherever I be, I would his truth defend. And in the land of endless bliss, where all the praise is thine, some humble place at thy dear feet, may this poor sinner find. The Lord has been so good to me, I will on him depend. And every day, wherever I be, I would his truth defend.
Love you, Brother Jerry. Look at him, showing off here tonight. Taking off here. How you go, brother? Doing good. Thank the Lord. The third Saturday before the third Sunday is the annual meeting at Bethel Washington Primitive Baptist Church in Vienna. And I know they'd love to see, I love you, dear brother. They'd love to see any and all that could come and be with them there. The Saturday before the fourth Sunday is the annual meeting at Richmond, at Salem Church in Richmond, Virginia. And again, I know they would love to see any and all that could be there as well. Other announcements that you know we need to make. Okay. Yes. So I remind everyone that the fourth Sunday, the Lord willing, is our communion time. We will have regular services in the morning. We'll have lunch, and then if that's mine, everybody's mine, and then we'll meet in the afternoon, the Lord willing, for the purpose of communion. That's on the fourth Sunday. And Saturday night before is their conference meeting at 6 o'clock. Anything else that you know of needs to be mentioned? Just appreciate each and every one of you that are here tonight. Love you so much. Thank God for you. And we do have so much to say. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And please continue to pray for me. All minds are clear. We'll stand and look to the Lord in this mission. Brother Terry, if you would, lead us in a word of prayer. Thank you, Brother Terry. Thank the Lord for you. Appreciate that sweet prayer, dear brother. Love you. God bless you. God bless you all. Thank you for being with us tonight. We love you. Love you, Sister Mama. God bless you. Love you all. Love you, Sister Judy. God bless you. I love you so much. Love you all. God bless.
See you, bro. Love you. Good to see you. Take care. Do you have any luck with that church bill?
What I'm going to do, I think I told him the client.
Yep.
I haven't done it yet.
Okay. All right.
Busy boy this week.
10-4.